Well, just when you thought the Lakers couldn't get any more Lakers, they make it official with J.J. Redick, star hire. Not really convinced that this thing is going to work. And Perloff, good morning. Not convinced this is going to work, maybe because of the J.J. Redick side of this, and he has no experience coaching in the NBA. But I don't know if I trust the Lakers. I mean, seven coaches since Phil Jackson. You know, it seems like maybe whatever way the wind blows, they've tried a lot of different coaches and none of them have been able to stick. So not all of this is on JJ, why I may not think it's going to be a success. A lot of this is on the Lakers, too.
Yeah, I don't put it on the organizational dysfunction, which seems really to be there. It's the roster. I mean, okay, LeBron's going to turn 40 this year. Like, father time is the problem, not the fact that we don't know who's calling the shots. Not the fact that J.J. Redick has no coaching experience. LeBron is not LeBron James, and you're still trying to milk out a title out of this team that just does not have the players. So what difference does it make if Linda Rambis is the one who made the decision?
Linda was the one, according to Anthony Irwin, was the one who raised her hand in a meeting and raised some red flags or at least some reservations about hiring J.J. Redick, because it is a little bit of an odd fit if you're asking about trying to maximize the end of LeBron's career. I understand what you're saying. It might be delusional to think that they can win a title no matter what, but we haven't seen what they're going to do in free agency and in this offseason. Trades could be coming. They have a couple draft picks, ones that are not reserved for Bronny, that they can trade. They do have some pieces that they can trade, some players they can trade. So the team could get a bit of a makeover. The roster part of this, I'm willing to reserve judgment and withhold judgment for now. Why I think that the Redick fit is just square peg round hole is that you are trying to, with whatever roster, you're trying to rip off another title with LeBron.
Right.
You would never trust a rookie player in this situation. You would never say, oh, we've got to hand the keys to a rookie point guard in this situation when you're trying to win a title and you're trying to find fit, you know, trying to eke this thing out here with LeBron. So why would you trust a rookie head coach in this situation?
Because you have to take because your roster is not championship worthy. You have to take a gigantic swing at head coach. That's the only way you're going to figure out something here. They need somebody who just looks at it way differently, and it's going to come in like Steve Kerr to Golden State, change the offense altogether, and maximize a roster that right now, if you just get the same old Frank Vogel type, you're not going to win a title. Unfortunately, you could easily get out of the Eastern Conference. Maybe you run in the Celtics, but the West is so competitive, you need to take a swing here.
Okay, and are we sure? I know that J.J. comes across as a really smart person. He's obviously impressed LeBron on this podcast, so I understand that, but is he really going to come in and be that difference maker? Because you're really putting a lot on him then. So if it's not going to be LeBron and Anthony Davis kind of leading the way, it's got to be JJ coming up with a whole new scheme and let's be honest, like there's a defensive side of this too, which JJ is going to have to get buy-in also. And, you know, listen, they're professional basketball players. They should play defense, but you know what I mean? It's an offensive, maybe different philosophy, and then it's also going to be a recommitment on the defensive end where you have Anthony Davis anchoring in the middle, but Anthony Davis is telling people, I want to play power forward. I don't want to play center anymore. So you got a lot of things here. You're really putting a lot on Redick when I know you might think it's crazy, but the expectation is championship right now in LA.
So why would you hire a retread like Kenny Atkinson, former Nets coach? Like, what's the point of that? Because that's going to be business as usual. That's going to be Darvin Ham 2.0.
Well, the reason why I think Atkinson actually would have been a sound choice is he's already got that thing that we talk about, which is you go somewhere, you're a head coach, you learn a lot, maybe you fail, but you've learned from that experience. Go to like the Bill Belichick thing, right? Goes to Cleveland, has a bad experience, you know, has a fine experience, but then learns from it, regroups. Kenny Atkinson has also been back to the Warriors since they've won, so he's been around so much winning. And if you actually want to talk about a guy for now and the future, that's Atkinson. He's the guy who actually can win, has the experience to help you now, and is known as someone who's a great developer of talent down the road. I mean, if LeBron James really, once Dan Hurley's out of the mix, if you want the right person for your son, Kenny Atkinson is the guy, actually. I don't know if J.J. Redick is. I've watched Kenny Atkinson develop young players. He did it with the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, man. I don't think hiring Kenny Atkinson, you might as well just not even have a season next year for the Lakers. I mean, they would have been so mid. The other thing, too, like it's very serious roster issues. They got to get rid of you got to hope D'Angelo Russell doesn't come back. I know it's his decision.
Yeah.
They definitely.
You could always trade him if he opts in. Opts out, you could re-sign him. You could trade him off of that.
I don't know that it's going to be that easy to get rid of D'Angelo Russell. Well, I feel like he's going to be back.
A draft pick, and you could probably move him.
Oh, great.
That's I'm just saying, you're asking
great.
For
that's what you're getting.
Solutions.
You just had to attach him. A draft pick. You need that draft pick to either get a player.
He actually didn't have a bad season last year.
I know.
Playoffs were a little bit bad, but, you know, they weren't in the playoffs for very long. So.
And the other thing, too, is they definitely need another big if they're going to. I mean, look at what Dallas did with Gafford and Lively. They need some of that action. They definitely. I know it's about Anthony Davis not wanting to play five, but Anthony Davis is not enough against the Nuggets. So it's so hard in the West because then you build a team to beat the Nuggets, and oh, all of a sudden a different team, the Mavs, come along. I just think it's an impossible situation. And what do you mean these recheck? The Kenny Atkinson's not the model. JJ Redick's the model. First time coaches. That's who wins. Joe Mazzulla, Nick Nurse, Steve Kerr.
Joe Mazzulla and J.J. Redick are not same. That is a guy who's coaching the G League Maine Lobster Claws or whatever the name of their G League team is. And then let's keep in mind, they didn't want to put Mazzulla there. They had to because Ime Udoka had a scandal and they had to scramble on the fly.
But it has been a lot. I don't know if it's pure accident. A lot of guys on their first team, Mike Malone, who were winning titles. So you can, the model is.
No, Malone was at the Kings. He didn't win a title.
Oh, he didn't. He was the head coach of the Kings. Oh, my bad. Anyway, but Eric Spoelstra, he was definitely first time, right?
Well, he was from the video room. You know, Pat Riley groomed Eric Spoelstra to become the next Pat Riley. And it worked.
Right. So, but a lot of first-time coaches, not a lot of retreads are winning. That's a hard model, too.
Well, again, you just mentioned Mike Malone. He was a guy who did do that, right? I think you're probably...
So what's more common?
I think they're both a mixed bag. Because, like, even you could say guys who went from playing straight to coaching, it hasn't been exactly a straight line. Jason Kidd did it. It ended weird in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
It ended weirder in Milwaukee. And now he's here with the Mavericks. And to be honest, he was on the hot seat like 6 months ago. So it's changed now. It's not perfect either way.
Well, I think that the Lakers fans are not necessarily thrilled about J.J. Redick, but I think they would have revolted if they had hired Kenny Atkinson. I'm just using Kenny or David Adelman.
Watch the Warriors win. Like, you've been watching the Warriors, and he's sitting right there right next to Steve Kerr. So I don't know.
That's the guy you wanted?
I think he, if you were actually talking about Dan Hurley, the guy who made sense for now and the future, right? Because
right.
He's a good coach now and he can develop in the future. That's actually what Kenny Atkinson does. He has experience and then he's the developmental guy. That's why Kevin Durant got rid of him essentially when he got to Brooklyn because he didn't want a developmental guy. And again, I just bring you back to this with LeBron. He would never trust a rookie point guard to try to capitalize on his golden years. So why he'd be trusting a rookie head coach to me is like, I don't get it.
But so why they hired Darvin Ham?
I don't know about Darvin Ham. I have no idea. I think they like the fact that he had won a championship as a player, maybe.
He was on Bud's staff that won the title.
Budenholzer's staff.
He was kind of similar to Atkinson in that regard. To my guy,
but had no head coaching experience.
No head coach experience. You know, Atkinson, I guess, coached the Nets. But, you know, same in that regard. You were on a staff that was successful.
Maybe they thought played in the league was a little bit different, too. Had this sort of respect with playing with the Pistons team. And that was, again... This is the Lakers why I don't trust them a lot of times. And it's not just them. Teams do this. They flip-flop. It's like someone being on the rebound from a breakup. It's like you had Frank Vogel, who was not like... Was Frank Vogel in the NBA and I missed
no.
it? Right. So you're like, we had a guy, even though you won a title with him. Well, now we need a guy who was like in the NBA. And maybe he'll relate to the players a little bit better. And
but you got stuck with Frank Vogel. They didn't want to hire Frank Vogel. That was never the plan, right? Did they want Lou that year?
They wanted Monty Williams.
Or they wanted somebody else, and then Frank Vogel was just left over. Not totally dissimilar to this situation.
Again, they won a title with him, and then they showed him the door years later.
I totally disagree with you on one thing. I do not think there's a coach that can coach the roster as it currently is. I don't think the Lakers can get out of the West. I don't think, honestly, so... I'm like, wow, you might as well swing for the fences with J.J. Redick. Maybe he is this brilliant mastermind. Maybe he's the next Steve Kerr.
It just doesn't feel that inspired to me because we've seen this happen kind of a lot now. Like, people keep saying how this is like, you know, the big swing or this is like going outside the box. It really isn't because Steve Nash did it. Derek Fisher did it. We mentioned Jason Kidd. Like, this is now an avenue you have where you hire the guy who's never coached before but is a recent player. You hope that he can take that experience into the head coaching thing. And None of those guys worked out in their first time around. We mentioned Steve Kerr, but Steve Kerr was around a team at least. He was a president of, or a general manager of an NBA team. So he's not so removed from the development. He's not so removed from the strategizing of being on an NBA team. So that's a little different. There really isn't a example to point to where a guy who never coached before goes and coaches a team, you know, that's trying to win now.
Well, Doc Rivers with the Magic.
But that wasn't a win-now team.
It was not a win-now team, but he did well, but it wasn't a win-now team. It wasn't near the expectations.
Yeah, no expectations compared to the Lakers.
But there is this, we know, and it's probably unfair, and I know it drives Pete nuts, there's this genius label, J.J. Redick, because of the podcast. Like, there's a lot. Like, J.J. Redick talks the talk. Like, that is, there's no doubt about that. Like, he's, and even more, Nash we knew was brilliant because we saw him play. But Redick, like, he's got this label. It's just there. I mean, you can't ignore it. Watch, look at the lines that are coming out about him.
Pete, were you reading any of the coverage yesterday of what people had to say about Redick?
No, because I knew what he thought about it. I didn't need to see any more of it on TV.
You didn't need
my face.
Can I read one or two to you?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, here's a tweet. J.J. Redick, you are absolutely a brilliant basketball mind, NBA voice. Have been listening to your podcast. I'm going to check out your other content. It's fun to listen to someone who actually knows what they're talking about on multiple levels that includes NBA experience.
Who wrote that?
Some guy with 40,000 followers of basketball. J.J. Redick is smart and entertaining, yet most significantly, he's remarkably candid. It's rare to see a former player who honestly can critique any player. He is brilliant. I want to see him as a coach like he was as an analyst.
Yeah, and he has never been a coach. Let's just document that. And he's going to go coach one of the best basketball players ever who's very particular. So it goes from, when you go from a podcast to the actual court, it gets very different.
I know, Pete, but we kind of gloss a little over the 15-year playing career. But to your point, like, but, I mean, if Jason Kidd couldn't make it work in his first go-around,
if he's interjecting like he was when he was a player and he was annoying... Yeah. annoying the locker room, basically. I mean, he could be annoying.
Here's one more. Casey Stern.
I know Casey.
As an avid listener of the pod for years, the dude is brilliant. He's a brilliant basketball mind. It's outside the box. I think there's a likelihood this has great success.
Look, he might be the best thing since Einstein. But until you do it on the court, you're not getting anywhere. So I try to do it with LeBron in L.A., a lot of pressure. It's much different than sitting there with a bottle of wine or a box of wine and breaking down game tape.
How about Ramona Shelburne? A coup for the Lakers.
Well, look, all those ESPN people are going to say that, too. Yep. I mean, they're going to pump him up.
Yeah.
You know, it's their big coup because their broadcaster got the job.
How about Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, big basketball writer? My bet is J.J. Redick will be a good coach. He's driven, intelligent, and a major competitor, and his meticulous in his attention to detail. These are qualities that the best coaches have. Can't wait to see how this all works.
Well, look, I hope for the Lakers it works out for them, because you know what? They could have had a really good coach in Hurley if they really wanted to spend the money and they really wanted to go after him. And they could have gone outside the box too, and they didn't think about that. They went to this guy and let's see. But I don't have much confidence in it, considering the track history of LeBron's coaches.
Mm-hmm. Cycles through them.
And the only thing that annoys me about it, and I talked about it before on the show, but the idea that J.J. is driven, meticulous, intelligent, and not these other guys because they don't have a podcast. It's crazy.
That's what's driving him nuts.
Everyone at this level has all those qualities or else you don't get past the first interview.
We're assuming the guy who is not doing the work that those other guys are doing is more intelligent, more driven, more passionate than those guys.
He's the only guy that can do it.
Yeah. No. I disagree. Have we heard those guys do all those things on a podcast? I don't think so. Man. Until it's in podcast form, it doesn't exist, guys.
Yeah, that podcast, and then you have the other podcast that we've heard some this morning that is a curse every 5 seconds. So, I mean...
pick your poison.
That's right.
The other is that's the Carmelo Anthony podcast, which is not for the faint of heart.
It's a Melo head coach.
What is the name of that? I
7 p.m. in Brooklyn.
What does that mean?
Free plug.
I think it's a Drake reference.
Ooh.
Because Drake, he has these songs where he does a time reference and a city. So like 6 p.m. in New York or 4 a.m. in Toronto. I think that's what it is.
It should be the Knicks Shouldn't Retire My Jersey podcast.
Wow. Oh, God. Ouch.
Off the top rope there.
855-212-4227. Let's hit the phones. Adrian is in Maryland. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, TGIF Friday, guys. Hey, my problem, I think this is a bad hire, because the hire should be for Anthony Davis, not for LeBron, because LeBron's not going to play no more than two or three more years. As far as everybody's talking about Bronny James and this developmental, this is not a developmental league. The NBA is a players' league. You have to be able to play. Why do you think Giannis' brother sits on the end of the bench and cheerleads? Because Giannis is on the team. That's why he's on the team. They're not trying to develop him. They made a favor. They did a favor for Giannis. That's what they're doing, a favor for LeBron. So developmental, no. He's got to go to the G League. And the thing I'm getting upset about is all these players that are coming out that are real draft picks are getting overshadowed by Bronny.
Yeah, Adrian, you're right. I mean, Bronny's become the story of the draft, not by anything that he's done. And that I can chap people and rub them the wrong way. Adrian, have a great weekend.
Great call.
The one thing, though, about I do want to stick up just for a second. This is in the weeds about Thanasis. So before Giannis was actually a thing, somebody did draft Thanasis in the second round.
Oh, no.
Thanasis was drafted before Giannis? I didn't know that.
They are the New York Knicks.
What year
drafted
was that?
The wrong Antetokounmpo. Anyway, no, we get the point. He's a cheerleader. You're right. He's sitting there at the end of the bench. He's not doing anything. Adrian does have a point. The NBA is not a developmental league. However, we've seen this before where guys do get better and you have young teams that do start to ascend. I mean, look at the OKC Thunder. Like, you think Chet Holmgren, he's going to get better. Shea got better.
Well, I was going to say, look at the Boston Celtics,
yeah, right?
You're talking about a team that a bunch of homegrown guys in terms of their top two guys, Tatum and Brown, you had to develop those guys. The top three picks, but Jaylen Brown was definitely not a guy who was ready-made as a rookie. Like, there was development there. So I think that's a problem with the Lakers, though. Like, they don't want to do that work. And part of it's because they failed. Maggie's done a great job of, you know, talking about how they failed with Ball, failed with Ingram, failed with Randall, and they got rid of those guys. Some of those guys maybe got rid of too early. But them not willing to do that work is how you get to this situation where you're like, well, we got to kind of develop some of these young guys here, but we also need a guy that likes LeBron.
Mm.
And then you land on, like, a podcast host.
I got to be honest.
It's a crazy route how they got here.
Those number two picks, they were in a bunch of crappy drafts. I looked at it back. Like, they were not – I know they could have taken Tatum maybe, but, like, a lot of those – like, 2016 to 2022 were bad drafts everywhere. So, I don't know. I'm not blaming them.
Okay, but
that.
Both of those other guys – and D'Angelo Russell, by the way, is back again. So
Russell's back.
And Julius Randle did enough to get another contract.
Randle and Ingram became all-stars.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, my pickup team could sign Brandon Ingram right now. Nobody wants that
I
dude.
Get it, but they're not busts. They didn't totally Absolutely flame not. Out. Yeah. They are contributors and big contributors
right,
to other teams.
Clearing those guys out, I mean, you had to clear out everybody to get LeBron in there. I don't know. I'm not sure that they made that many mistakes. And by the way, Adrian's got to get with the program. It's all about Bronny and J.J. Redick. Your common sense has no place in today's NBA world. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Come on, Adrian.
Yeah, Pete, you don't fit in this either. This is a new world. It's Bronny and J.J.'s world.
Look, if they want to draft a guy that scored maybe 1 point in bad college basketball, that's fine. Look, he has his concerns, too, because of his health. You know, like, yeah. I can see second round, but first round, I mean, you got to have your head examined.
Stop with the common sense, Pete. There's no place for that.
You're right.
It was 4 points a game. How dare you?
Yeah.
855-212-4227. Coming up, one of our friends and someone we trust on all things basketball is our pal Rohan Nadkarni. He's going to join us next. Rohan not only does basketball, he's going to give us the drink of the summer and the song of the summer as well. Do a little culture. Get everybody cultured here. Rohan's next. J.J. Redick takes over as the head coach of the L.A. Lakers. And now we wait. What's going to be the first move? How's this going to go? What are the Lakers going to look like when they actually take the court? For that, we turn to our pal, Rohan Nadkarni. We turn to you, Rohan. Good morning. For all things basketball and all things summer, you're going to give us drink of the summer, song of the summer. Just person much cooler than us. But first on the basketball, thanks for doing this.
By the way, not a big achievement, Rohan.
Yeah, congrats.
I'll take all the wins I can get, you know?
Is this J.J. Redick hire going to work?
Well, right to it, Maggie. I respect it. If I were a betting man, I do think this is going to work, and I think for two reasons. Number one, I know that this podcast thing, it's all very silly. It's unique. It's unprecedented. Having said all that, J.J. Redick's a fantastic basketball mind. I think that that's one thing about this hire you can't question. J.J. Redick's someone who not only played in the NBA, played high-level college basketball, but understands the modern NBA, and I think that's something that's really important. He's somebody who is not kind of stuck in his ways. I don't think he's married to a style of basketball. I think he's someone who has an appreciation for what the NBA is now and where it's going. And that, to me, is, I think, a really big factor in this deal. The fact that they got someone who's young, adaptable, I think going to kind of evolve with the modern game, a tactician. These are all things that I think are really important. They're not the only important aspects of the job. Obviously, we're going to have to see how does he get along with the players? How does he command the locker room, especially under these unique circumstances? But if I had to bet on J.J. Redick's basketball mind, I'm comfortable doing that.
Rohan, how do you know he has this brilliant basketball mind?
I've had the pleasure of talking to him before, certainly, and I think that goes a long way. The podcast, again, that's kind of the elephant in the room with all this, and it's going to be discussed, I think, ad nauseum between now and throughout however long he has this job. But I do think you've seen not only in the way he covers the game for ESPN, his personal podcast, the way he talks about it, there's just like hours of footage out there of J.J. Redick talking about basketball in a very smart way. Not only with LeBron James, but from players around the league. And you talk about guys like, whether it's not just LeBron James, it's Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Grant Williams, whoever he has on this podcast, the knowledge he has about what every team is doing, the sets they like to run, what this coach likes to do, this coach's favorite after timeout play, the way he's able to weave advanced statistics into his broadcast, but also discuss with players when and why they kind of have their place in the league. I find all that stuff to be very impressive.
Rohan Nadkarni is joining us. He's one of our dear friends, great basketball mind. You know, Perloff, Rohan, keeps, you know, bringing up the other elephant in the room. If it's not the podcast, it's the roster and whether the Lakers roster is actually good enough to compete in the West. What do you think their offseason plan is going to be? I know I'm asking you to go into the crystal ball, but what do you think would be some good options here for the Lakers if they're trying to upgrade the roster?
Well, one of their kind of big chess pieces was taken off the board. I think it's no secret that the Lakers were interested in an Alex Caruso reunion this summer. Now he goes to Oklahoma City, which is an issue for them. Another guy that I'm sure the type of player the Lakers would love to get their hands on, ironically, is the type of player they've been letting walk out the door for some reason for the last 3 or 4 years, whether it's Alex Caruso. You hear about a name like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, someone who is going to be a big target for teams this summer with cap space. Again, a guy the Lakers sent out the door a couple summers ago. So I do think one of the reasons why they went after J.J. Redick is I'm sure he presented a plan to the Lakers. This is how I'm going to get the most out of LeBron James. This is how I'm going to get the most out of Anthony Davis, because that is ultimately going to be, I think, what their success is determined by. But there's no question they've upgraded the roster. To me, it's not about getting caught up in names for the Lakers. It's about getting caught up in the right type of player. Those 3-and-D guys, those championship role players, what you're seeing kind of, if you're going to stop a team like the Boston Celtics, you kind of need size and shooting at every position. The Lakers used to have that. They need to get back to that.
Hey, what about the idea that they are kind of bargain hunters, a coach, that they didn't pay up as much as they should have for Danny Hurley? And I know it's only 4 years for J.J. Are they more conservative when it comes to this? And is this part of one of their issues?
First of all, I'd love to be lowballed at 6 years, $70 million total.
Rohan.
I was a little bit blown away by that discourse, to be perfectly honest.
Me too.
You don't have to react to that. But they were like, they lowballed Dan Hurley by making him the sixth highest paid coach in the NBA, even though he's never coached an NBA game before.
Rohan. You know the taxes.
That one, frankly, never made sense to me. I do think that, you know, there's this idea of the Lakers, they're very Hollywood and they got all the stars, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, their ownership situation is unique. Their front office situation is unique compared to the rest of the NBA. And you look at where NBA ownership is kind of going with some really, really high moneyed individuals who've come in to NBA ownership the last few years. That's not the Lakers. Okay. It's a little bit of like a meme or a joke, I'd say, amongst their fans and a little bit locally, but it is kind of a family-run organization still. I think that's why you get kind of situations like this Redick one that's played out over the last few weeks. Their organizational structure is unique. So, I wouldn't say they're cheap. I think they gave Redick reportedly $8 million a year. That's a really strong salary, I think, for a first-time head coach, someone with his lack of experience, I should say, in head coaching. So it can be an issue for them. I mean, I don't think they were going to go get Monty Williams maybe at the number he got from the Pistons, but that wasn't exactly a well-received coaching contract either. So I don't think they're ever going to come in and be like the top coaching spender. But this narrative that they've lowballed people, I find that to be personally, I didn't really agree with that.
Oh, Rohan, I was so with you. I'm like, how is this insulting to Dan Hurley? He just got $20 million less, by the way, to stay at UConn. Taxes by
I mean, Reddick, I heard Reddick's taking a pay cut to take this job. I don't know. I think this is not that much money.
But here's the thing about Reddick. Yeah. I look back, $117 million over his playing career.
He gets, you know how much he's making for these podcasts and things? I don't know that. It's not like
$10 million a year in the media. Rui, that's Stephen A money.
You're paying Rui 16.
Okay, so that's a little on the Lakers stuff. That's a little on the basketball. Great note there, Rohan, too, that Caruso could have been someone that the Lakers were eyeing. And then that trade to OKC got done real fast, and we were surprised that Josh Giddey was the return. We kept waiting for more to come in on the trade. Like, where are also the first-round picks that are going back to Chicago? And as far as we know, that never happened. We bring you here to talk about basketball, yes, but also to talk a little about the culture in general. You've been so good about giving us a drink of the summer, song of the summer, sort of lay out for us, Rohan. You know, what do you see? What are going to be the cool things this summer?
Well, first of all, Song of the Summer was decided, and if anybody needed a reminder, I hope you watched that Kendrick Lamar concert the other night. I mean, it's not like us. I think I can't take credit for this, but I think it was Bomani Jones instead of Kendrick just went on a world tour performing only that song, the amount of peace that he could bring, I think, to different places. Just the way people unite over that song, I think it's a no-brainer. So I got to go with Not Like Us as a Song of the Summer. It's obvious. There's no need to fight it. It's like every time you hear it come on, you just want to start moving. You know what I mean?
What about Drink of the Summer?
You know, Drink of the Summer, I had to come in a little bit differently this year because, you know, I came in once really hot last year, and then Perloff was like, hey, man, I'm not drinking vermouth. And I was like, I totally respect that. I want to know if I can come in like really specific right now. I don't want to give away free advertising here. I know that you guys are charging millions for every 30-second spot on this show.
So it's
yes, really valuable. You know, you guys are in the Netflix Christmas ad space. having said that, you know, growing up in South Florida, something I cherish time and time again, the mojitos. But as I grow older, you know, the mojitos, all that simple syrup, the mojito hangovers, all right, they hit a lot different at 32 than 22. So I'm going to come in for the Spindrift lime and mint flavor. It's actually called the Nojito. No alcohol, but it gets you like 85% of the way to mojito, and it's delicious.
Wow.
So that's my drink of the summer.
What's the flavor? Lime and
mint.
Lime and
mint. Oh, my God.
Wait, are you putting rum in this or yes?
I'm not. I'm just going straight sparkling water, Maggie. Yes. I'm a changed man, unfortunately.
Whoa. Okay.
By the way, Rohan, that's no joke. I hear young people don't drink anymore. First of all, because everybody's on the weed, as they say. But regardless, like, I bet you could walk into New York City.
He's high as a kite.
Yeah. I bet you could walk into any New York City hip scene and Spindrift. You head out of Spindrift or a Coors Light, Spindrift is the choice right now.
This is it. Clean living. That's the theme of the summer.
I think so. Look, I'm not saying that I'm going to practice this every single day. I'm just saying if I had to pick one for the summer, you know, if it's sometimes you just need to, you can only have so many days where you drink like 12 Miller Lights where you're like, you know what, let me mix it up and get some Spindrift.
Escalated quickly to 12 Miller Lights.
Can I put a little middle-aged dad spin on the Spindrift? By the way, if you just want to buy your own grapefruit juice and generic club soda and combine a little, then you save about 40 cents a can on Spindrift. Well, just saying. You can make your own, Rohan.
Come on. I'm figuring out ratios now. Yeah.
Listen.
Tell me about your fruit juicing setup. I'd love to hear more about that.
No. And, if you want to do your own bubbly water.
Don't encourage them, Rohan.
Yeah. Listen, I have a deal at Wegmans on club soda. I get you hooked up, dude. Don't worry.
You have a deal at Wegmans?
We're a big deal.
A Wegmans card. Believe me, I've done the math on the
I see.
I'm sorry. Like, yeah,
it's
a club member. We make a lot of money, but Spindrift money, dude? I mean, come on.
First of all, you really had me going there for a second. I was like, I knew this show was doing successful, but I was like, getting in on the Wegmans, you know, ground floor, that would have been something.
Listen, no. I have a Wegmans.
Doors open for McLovin.
I have a Wegmans shopping cart. It gives me 3% off pickles. Wait, what did you think? I have Wegmans stock?
Yes, Danny Wegman and Perloff.
You were like, I got to deal with I thought maybe you and your local Wegmans would work something out, you know. you make a couple of appearances. You guys do a live show from the deli,
No, they just make him feel like a king. It's like walking into Publix, you know, everyone's royalty. Rohan, thank you so much. We appreciate this, and we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy what is the 30 seconds of the NBA offseason, if that.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy.
Rohan.
By the way, I also have a deal at Costco. I get a huge discount. I have a card, a membership.
Is your name's on it and everything?
My name's on it. I am a member. It's probably the most important membership of my entire life.
Shopping at Costco is very fun, by the way.
Which one do you go to?
There's one on Long Island about 10 minutes from my house, Huntington area.
Is it crowded?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, fun is not something I associate with Costco. Efficient.
I like Costco. Efficient.
Going up and down the aisles, I don't love the presentation. I'm overwhelmed.
But don't you guys ever overspend at Costco? It's like, well, yes. I didn't think I needed this, and then you walk away.
But the portions are so big,
right,
that you never feel like you overspent because you get so much bang for your buck.
It's value.
The problem though is right. I live in a house of two people and a dog, so I always think that we'll eat this all, and we never do.
And an apartment, right, where you can't have a gigantic box of Cheetos.
Valuable real estate.
This is why I don't have a Costco's card, because I would go in there and I'd probably fill up three carts with stuff we don't need. And even though it's four of us in the house, we don't need it.
I always find that I go to Costco and I'm buying like stuff that has nothing to do with like food. Like the last thing I bought from Costco was a mattress.
Well, you get stuck
into the seasonal stuff is also great.
Yeah, but then you're like, well, these fruit roll-ups are only 37 cents per bag. Let's get 400 of them.
And they got the electronics. They have normally a mobile carrier is like in there.
Yeah, they sell
so
gold.
You can get a new phone.
You know, they're a big seller. They've been selling gold the last year, and it's gone crazy. Yeah, like you buy gold at Costco. It's a huge deal.
Wait, but not like a gold watch.
No, like gold that you invest in. Like
that you
gold.
Would trade?
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot going on at Costco.
Gold like Ron Swanson? Scam.
I don't know.
I don't think. But
Costco's gold sales are like a huge economic thing
right
now.
Everyone's buying gold, and I'm just buying rotisserie chickens left and right. That's my favorite.
They're selling everything.
You're doing it the wrong way, AJ. You need to be investing in blood diamonds.
Where else can you buy gold and a $4.99 chicken? I mean, this is...
Fill up your car with gas. The whole deal. Costco, there's so much more than meets the eye. Emmanuel here. He's the voice of the Yankees, guys. He's doing updates for us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Superdeck stains from June 14th through the 24th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. So you're talking about this. J.J. Redick to the Lakers done. That's a four-year deal. The Sixers, by the way, their interest in Paul George has reportedly significantly waned. That, according to Shams, Philly's expected to be, quote, aggressive elsewhere with its cap flexibility and draft capital. But Paul George reports he won't be coming back with the Clippers, free agent to be. That could have been a match for Joel Embiid, but the Sixers, apparently, they're not into it anymore.
Well, or are they playing hard to get? Mm. You know, if you like somebody in third grade, you pretend you don't like them. Pretty obvious mind games here. This is a high-end mind
game. Never worked for me, by the way. Never worked for me.
Yeah, also, like, is that how free agency goes? Richard, it's usually the person who shows up with the most money. But, yeah, here's I have a little conspiracy theory about this. Do you want to know what it is?
Sure, definitely.
Mind games?
I think Paul George was a no, and I think they found this out, and this is the Sixers getting in front of it, so it doesn't look like a star is saying no to Daryl Morey and Joel Embiid, and because you've got to maintain a level of like, hey, we're at the top of the market here, and you know, Paul George is just playing with James Harden, who went all the way to China to tell a group of kids that Daryl Morey is a liar. And I wonder if he maybe poisoned things a bit for Paul George, who's been his teammate with the Clippers now or something. And I think this was the Sixers getting in front of this so they didn't look embarrassed that they were spurned by Jordan.
You know, there's another thing called common sense. Maybe paying $50 million a year for a 34-year-old player who'll be 35, then 36, then 37.
Never stopped Daryl Morey before.
You know, you think about that, but he signed James Harden. James Harden was a spring chicken when he signed him compared to Paul. This guy is going to be the most overpaid. He literally might be the most overpaid player in the history of the NBA. Like, this contract might, if the Clippers sign him, I think they're crazy.
And even at the end of James Harden.
It's nuts.
The contract's going to be ridiculous.
And even at the end of the James Harden situation, it was them not allowing him to go to free agency and saying, hey, we're not going to give you this some huge extension. We're going to pick you up for this one option here, and then you can do whatever after that. And that was whole Daryl Morey's a liar thing. James Harden thinks he's going to get a big bag of money, and it didn't come from Daryl Morey. So maybe this is a new Daryl Morey scene where he's not going to just give all the money in the world to whoever's available.
Well, that's not a new Daryl Morey then. I think that's the ownership being like, what? I think Daryl will give it away, but that's just me.
No, I actually think that's accurate. Like, a baseball comparison for me, when Bryce Harper wanted the Yankees back in 2019, they got out in front of it and said, we're not signing him. And now, they didn't explicitly say it, but you could tell.
They never brought him in.
Yeah, exactly. So when it didn't happen, the fan base wasn't like, oh, you missed out on Bryce Harper. They said from the beginning of the offseason,
meanwhile, they should have signed Bryce Harper.
I mean, Bryce Harper was 26 at the time, right?
Right.
No, he's been awesome for the Phillies. They should have definitely signed
him. Honestly, like, it's like everyone's saying the magic on Paul George. Like, what a waste. I feel so bad for whoever has to get. This is going to be, you see these NBA contracts, that one's going to be an albatross. You see me mad about Paul George, thank God. I hope he does not come to the Sixers.
Doesn't he just stay with the Clippers?
Well, no, the odds moved up.
Reportedly not happening, but...
Well, the odds now, even with the Clippers and the Magic, I saw, and also Harden. I mean, will he stay with the Clippers? He's a straight free agent, right?
What an interesting situation for the Clippers.
You think the Sixers are a mess?
Right.
Like, jeez.
What are they going to do? They've got 10,000 bathrooms, and you can flush every toilet at the same time.
You can smoke weed on the deck.
I'm on that, too.
Bulls are trading Alex Caruso to the Thunder for Josh Giddey.
That's every upper deck, by the way. All over America.
Wait, upper decks? What's happening here? Okay,
There's a fan section in the Clippers arena real quick that you can smoke weed legally, and it's totally fine.
You know what? They're going to need that if the product's not good enough. Everyone's going to be sitting there. It's like, squint and you can see.
I'm going to need something to watch these Russell Westbrook miss layups. So.
Honestly, Steve Ballmer should be up there passing out joints.
They're not bringing him back too, are they?
I think he's definitely coming back. You saw him. He was there in Inglewood, you know, dancing. I don't think he's going anywhere.
So we got Caruso for Giddey. We have Malik Monk signing a 4-year, $78 million deal to stay in Sacramento. Sixth man of the year runner-up. Ian Begley's reporting that Jalen Brunson's going to leave a lot of money on the table. If Brunson skips out on extension this summer, he'd get 5 years and 270 next offseason. But an extension in July, 4 years for 156. And Begley said he's reportedly going to take that.
Yeah, so, the Julius Randle, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they can build around Brunson. Rickwood Field, Birmingham, Alabama. Cardinals 6, Giants 5. First time hosting an MLB game ever. And it lived up to the hype, honoring the Negro Leagues. An extra special night with the passing of Willie Mays this week. So the Fox broadcast, I thought, nailed it. Found an extra gear, came back, and all of a sudden it was like 70 years ago.
And so we welcome it back here to 1954 television. 70th anniversary of the catch. 1954 World Series Game 1. That game was tied at 2 in the 8th inning.
So they start telling the story about the Willie Mays catch, and you can hear the different audio, slightly different audio. It was all black and white, and it was sped up. Then this leads to a question. They get very enamored by the history of television.
So I get what we're doing here. This is how the game was shot.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is how it sounded.
Wow. I mean, they had a little more old-timey voice to it, which I'm not even going to try on national TV right now, but I get the point.
And then John Smoltz.
I'm sure we'll get this answer, because you know I like asking questions to learn something.
I try to give you something every week.
So I want to ask our crew, when did the home shot from center field come into play?
Ooh, that's a good one. Matt Gangle, director, what you got? He says, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, so getting a little bit into the weeds of when baseball TV became that way, because literally all you could see was, you could see behind home plate, pitcher coming in. It was like the ball was whipping in as if you're watching a game from the 1930s or 40s. And then they did do a split screen, and they said that did not happen in the 1940s.
Yeah, they didn't split screen then.
We weren't doing split screens with the runner on first.
They didn't do win probability? That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
1954, they weren't doing that.
Yeah, 15% win probability.
They didn't have launch angle?
Yeah.
It was cool. Was John Smoltz not at the production meeting? He seemed totally blindsided by this. Maybe it was a bit.
Yeah, when did we start doing the home game?
We like Smoltz. 855-212-4227. Emmanuel, thank you so much. Perloff, you have got to leave us right now for
big
something
time.
Very
eighth
important.
Grade graduation. About to cry.
Yay.
Not me, my daughter.
Congratulations to Perloff going through it again. To Lucy, the coolest person we know. 13 going on 30. She is awesome. Tell her we said congratulations. Okay, coming up, we've got more for you on the J.J. Redick hire. It's Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network. Welcome back. When I tell you that I was rejoicing when I got the news that one of my all-time favorite movies is going to have a sequel. Pete, I know you're with me on this one. Spaceballs, the masterpiece by Mel Brooks. I actually saw this movie before I saw Star Wars.
You want a shocking piece of news?
What?
I never saw it.
What?
That's funny.
Okay, that's fine. Everyone, no one's seen everything. I'm going to tell you you're going to love it because I know you and I know your sense of humor.
I have to see it.
Okay, so the sequel is going to be coming out now. What is this, 40 years after the fact?
Or yeah.
Even more? So it got us thinking about sports movies and what sequels we'd like to see from sports movies. Now, I have a couple. EJ, I know you have a few. I'm not sure about you, Pete, if you have any. I'm going to start with this one. It's based on a true story, and it's Rudy. Now, I don't know if you could do the true story again, but how about Rudy now comes back to coach Notre Dame or something? Like, you could. There was still a little more meat on the bone, I thought, with Rudy, which is an all-time great sports movie.
Rudy is not, isn't it real?
It is real, but you can fictionalize the second one, right? If you're going to make the sequel, I think you bring back Rudiger. He's the coach of the team now or something like that, or his kid or some.
Okay.
You can find a way.
Okay.
How about this? I like it. It's Rudy comes back to coach the team, and it's the guy who played the custodian who let him sleep in the facility. It's his son who's now trying to make the team, and it's Rudy trying to coach the son.
Yeah. I got one with that. The Little Giants have Icebox Coach.
Icebox?
The same scenario. Icebox coaches against Al Bundy's kid.
Ed O'Neill, his kid. I like that one. I also got Any Given Sunday for you. I think that we could do, does Willie Beeman, the Jamie Foxx character, what happens if he goes to another team? Does Al Pacino go to the booth? You know, does he become the general manager? There was a little bit more there for Any Given Sunday, which I know is a polarizing one.
So the ones I have, one of my all-time favorite movies, you talk about it a bunch here, Blue Chips, needs a sequel. Because look, now you got NIL.
Yep.
So Pete Bell, who probably, we don't see what happens to him, but we assume he gets banned or whatever. Yeah. Maybe he's out of college basketball. Maybe a school says, hey, and money is allowed now. Like, you're no longer this pariah. Let's bring you back, and he has to rebuild, like, some
Rick
program.
Rick Pitino style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a Rick Pitino, basically, of this new era. So I think Blue Chips would be great. I also think Little Big League would be great. Because you got, the young...
Everyone's getting younger and younger.
Yeah, well, you got the young kid who was the manager of the Twins, and he gave it up, but he was still the owner. But now he's an adult, and now he gets to actually run the team.
Oh.
So now he's an adult trying to run a baseball team, and he has this, like, historic kind of figure, and now he's kind of like an idol to these players, and how that actually, you know, kind of messes with the chemistry of the team. I think that would be really cool.
Well, I just watched Joe Mazzulla, who was in the same draft class as Kyrie Irving, win a title with the Celtics. He's 35. J.J. Redick got hired yesterday. He's 40. We are getting younger. Forget the NFL coaches. They're babies. I mean, McVay got that job at 32 or something. Was even that old? It's all about getting younger, younger, younger. Maybe Little Big League. It actually is a kid who's like 9.
Yeah, maybe Billy. Team. Maybe Billy finds another young prodigy and says, "Hey, you remind me of me, so I'm gonna make you the manager."
It's just the analytics. You know, they understand it better. These kids can read the spreadsheets better than adults. All right, coming up, mentioned J.J. Redick gets the job. My biggest question for J.J. Redick and the Lakers now that they're embarking on this endeavor together. We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network.